Welcome to Texans on Tap, episode 36, our preview Texans-Ravens divisional round matchup. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975. Guys, this kind of feels like a bonus episode because there's no way we could have predicted a divisional round appearance from this Texans team. And standing between them and the organization's first AFC title game appearance is a team that most people predicted would be here, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, we talked about this season being one of which DeMeco Ryans and his team are exercising a lot of those ghosts from Texans past. The Ravens definitely fall in that category. And to do that, it starts with containing the 2023 MVP apparent, Lamar Jackson. Now, what do you expect to see out of DeMeco Ryans and Matt Burke to prevent Jackson from running wild on the Texans defense?
Well, obviously, he presents an altogether different challenge than Joe Flacco, who moved okay for an almost 39-year-old guy, but is not a weapon. Lamar Jackson's merely the best running quarterback of all time. Not the 1,200-yard guy of a few seasons ago, but over 800 yards this season, 5 yards per pop, and they have RPO, they have straight runs. But the problem, or the double-edged sword that cuts against the Texans both sides, is that Lamar Jackson's continued to grow as a passer. Career high, 67% completions this year. He may be getting healthier in terms of weaponry around him. Zay Flowers missed the last game of the regular season hurt. He's going to play. They have a Pro Bowl-level tight end, Mark Andrews, who had knee surgery in late November. Well, he started practicing this week. If they get him back, the Texans and tight ends, as we've ad nauseum or ad nausea addressed throughout the course of the season. So I would think they're going to try to keep Jackson in the pocket, make them beat him as a passer. Much easier said than done.
I think with Lamar, it's going to be tough to get the ball away from him. He only has one game with multiple picks over the entire season. So it's going to be tough to intercept him. The one thing I could point to, some hope for the Texans, is he does fumble quite a bit. He had 11 total fumbles this year. He lost 6 of them. He had some against the Texans in the first game. So maybe if they're not able to pick him off, maybe they can get some fumbles, get some sacks on him like they did in the first game, turn the ball over, because they're going to need that bad. The other thing I see here is they haven't lost with Lamar since November 12th against the Browns. So, you know, he missed that final week because they had everything locked up. So that's pretty impressive. And if you look who they've lost to, they lost to the Browns, the Steelers twice, and the Colts. Those are all teams the Texans have beaten. So if there's a little bit of a glimmer of hope there, maybe that'll provide it.
Yeah, look, the Steeler game meant nothing for Baltimore. Lamar and a bunch of guys sat out the last week of the regular season. The Ravens are the best team in football, right? This is the team that should win the Super Bowl. Late in the season, when pursuing the number one seed, the key obstacle in the way was Miami. Final score, Ravens 56, Dolphins 19. Then you had supposed Super Bowl 57.5, Baltimore at San Francisco, where the 49ers had been annihilating people, and the Ravens just mopped the field with the Niners. But I do think, right, the Texans, you're going to shoot the moon here, and you're going to go to the Super Bowl, and you're going to have to beat the Ravens. I do think this is the week to take the shot. Right, that bromide of rest or rust. The Ravens sat guys in week 18, the one team that had the bye week, so they've not pressed the start button. It will be 3 weeks. So maybe they're off rhythm. Maybe Lamar Jackson gets a little sloppy with the ball. I think the Texans need to sink their teeth into this game immediately. Lamar Jackson is 1-3 as a playoff starter. You know all Ravens fans are aware of that. Right, the Texans are going into a very, very raucous environment. Baltimore smells blood. Kansas City is going to have to come there, or Buffalo is going to have to come there if they get past the Texans. But if you can introduce some doubt into Baltimore, and particularly Lamar Jackson, maybe that burden can level the scales a little bit. Because, I mean, realistically, the Ravens do have the better team, both sides of the ball. But C.J. Stroud gives you a puncher's chance in any game, and certainly in a best of one, he could just outplay Lamar Jackson.
We'll talk about C.J. Stroud just a second. Ravens had the most total rushing yards this season and third most yards per carry. Texans defense, on the other side, second best in yards per carry. Sounds like one of those unstoppable force questions. How did the Texans win this battle?
Boy, it's a load. And the Ravens lost the guy they thought was going to be their number one back, J.K. Dobbins, early in the season. But the run game, they have a couple of competent backs headed by Gus Edwards, but not a fear of God guy. You know, not a 1,200-yard rusher. But it's Lamar Jackson, the component that he adds to the running game above all other quarterbacks, save maybe Josh Allen, in the NFL. You know, in the pass rush, you're going to want Anderson and Grenard to try to pin him in the pocket. In the run game, you better set the edge because they do try to get Gus Edwards to the outside. And obviously, Lamar Jackson has the speed to turn a corner. It's a load. I mean, Baltimore was, what, fourth in points scored, number one in fewest points allowed. They went 13-4, punting the last game of the season, not by accident. The opening game, who cares about that, that the Ravens blew out the Texans in the opener, right? The Texans were just the acorn, and if not an oak now, they're a pretty sturdy tree. But this is the game, while the Texans certainly don't have anything to lose. Hey, they're one step away from the AFC Championship game. But this game is gravy. If the Texans lose this game, it's still a hell of a season. If the Ravens lose this game for Baltimore, it's a freaking disaster.
Yeah, that's all true. I, you know, when I first saw the point spread, it came out at 9.5 points. I was like, whoa, like that feels like way too much. It's since dropped down to 9. But then I looked at the final six games that the Ravens played with Lamar. They outscored their opponents 197-106. Those opponents were the Dolphins, the 49ers, the Jags, the Rams, the Chargers, and the Bengals. So it's not all garbage teams there. I mean, they're talking about almost outscoring these opponents by 100 points. So I guess the Ravens have earned, you know, this spread according to bookmakers. I still think it's going to be a tighter game than that. I took the Texans plus the points, but I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on. You can't let them get out there early and start running and taking a huge lead. It's going to be really hard to come back against that defense.
Against Lamar Jackson, to throw some more names in there, Rankins and Collins, I think, are going to have to be stout and get some push in the middle. If Grenard and Anderson aren't playing full snap counts again as they work their way back from injuries, it'll be cold weather this time. So every time you go to the sideline, keep it warm. Don't stiffen up, but not brutal. Right? Temperature is 25 degrees and falling maybe toward 20, 4:30 local time start in Baltimore. Derek Barnett had the huge play hitting Flacco, the Steven Nelson pick six. You know he's going to get snaps and some pass rush opportunities, but they better win inside, because if Baltimore is able to run the ball, the Texans just aren't going to be able to stop the Ravens offense.
We talked about Lamar Jackson is the MVP apparent. The Texans don't bring a slouch at quarterback either. They have the Offensive Rookie of the Year apparent. And we're watching probably a top five, fair to say, all-time NFL rookie quarterback campaign in C.J. Stroud. But C.J. and Bobby Slowick have their work cut out for them against the likes of linebackers Roquan Smith, Patrick Queen. These guys are nightmares. And we got to preview that in week one, as you mentioned, Charlie. But as you also mentioned, this is not the same Texans team. So how do you expect this Texans team to scheme their way out of a repeating that early loss?
I think the offensive line collectively is going to have to play over its head. The Ravens, and you hit on a couple of the names, they have Pro Bowlers at every level. Former Texas Aggie, Justin Matabike, has had a monster season. 13.5 sacks, third-round pick, fourth-year guy from Aggieland. You covered the linebackers inside and out. Kyle Hamilton may have emerged this season as the best safety in football. They like to use him in the slot. One thing to look for if he's in the slot, and he's a safety with corner cover ability, can be very disruptive. Get Nico Collins to the side where Hamilton isn't. Send the second receiver to the side where Hamilton will be with the slot guy and have Collins on the other side. Marlon Humphrey, Baltimore's best cornerback, calf problem. Didn't have to play in week 18, had the bye week earned by being the number one seed. What is his health? As always, it's not nice to root for injuries to the opponent, but if they happen, they happen. If Marlon Humphrey is addled, that would be a boon to the Texans' cause in the passing game.
I checked the practice report. Humphrey was not out there today. So hopefully as we go forward, we don't like to root for that stuff, but Texans have had their fair share of injuries, so I'm not going to hate it if the Ravens have to deal with theirs. Scariest thing for me here, late in the year when the Ravens played the 49ers, they got annihilated, that being the 49ers. And if we look at the Texans scheme and Bobby Slowick and the 49ers scheme and Shanahan, we can draw some comparisons there. Brock Purdy had his worst game as a pro in that game against the Ravens. He had zero passing TDs and four picks. The Ravens intercepted him on three of the first four drives of this game. So that is what really scares me here, is if the Ravens can kind of use some of the things they did against the 49ers against Stroud, that could be a big problem. But the good thing is Stroud, he got to watch that tape. He can see some of the things that Purdy did and try and not make those same mistakes. CJ always says he tries not to make the same mistake twice. Hopefully he doesn't make four mistakes like Brock Purdy did in that game. So that's going to be a big challenge.
Two other names on that Baltimore defense, the veteran Kyle Van Noy, a couple stints with the Patriots, cap casualty, 9 sacks with the Ravens, and Jadeveon Clowney, durable and good this season. 30 years old, 9.5 sacks, where the burden isn't on him to be the man and not live up to being the overall number one pick in the draft. The Ravens are just stacked at every level.
And we've talked about week after week the struggles with getting the run game going. Again, against the Browns, the Texans got under 100 rushing yards. Can they realistically do that against the Ravens and succeed? Or does that mean CJ Stroud has to go crazy in the air?
I'll go for the latter there in all likelihood. Cold weather conditions. Now Singletary does offer you the speed that if he can bounce one outside 30 yards later, hey, see, there was one big gash play in the run game. But I don't expect they'll be able to sustain much. Another element in this game, field position. I think it's going to be tough to go 75, 80 yards in Baltimore against that defense. So if you can get a turnover or two short field, you know, the thinking was win the turnover battle and you can really beat Cleveland. I think they almost have to win the turnover battle if they're going to win at Baltimore.
Yeah, the other big thing, that first matchup, it was all field goals. Texans didn't score any touchdowns in that game. That's going to have to change in this matchup. And it was really, you know, the ground game that killed the Texans. That's where the touchdowns came from. Justice Hill had a couple there. So, and then I think Dobbins had one. Of course, he's hurt. He won't be in this game. But the Gus Bus will be in this game along with Hill. So Texans going to have to stop the run. They're going to have to put some points on the board. I mean, I know that all sounds obvious, but when you didn't score a single touchdown in the first matchup, you know, you got to start small, find a way to punch it in the end zone early in this game.
Final score predictions.
Well, these teams met, these franchises met the Texans' first playoff season back in 2011, and they gave the Ravens a pretty good game, lost 20-13. I'll give them another 7-point loss, which would keep them within the number. It's not what the Texans are going there for. But in the end, while offering hope, right, that week off, last year the Chiefs and the Eagles were the number one seeds and they both went to the Super Bowl. Since the NFL went to the divisional format and the seeded playoff format, only 14 out of 49 number one seeds have, in 14 of 49 years, have both these Super Bowl teams been the number one seeds. 2 years ago, Tennessee Titans, Green Bay Packers, the number one seeds, both out this weekend, divisional round weekend. It's a best of one, but in the end, I think the Ravens are the clear, practical choice. I'll go Baltimore 27, Houston 20.
Ooh, I was pretty much in that same boat, but I had a feeling that you were going to say that, Charlie. So I'll switch it up a little bit. I'll say 27-24 Baltimore.
Well, Josh, you took the points against the Browns last week. Worked out for you. Let's hope it does the same. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We'll be back Saturday following the game to recap it live here on YouTube and hopefully talk about another Texans victory, but their first ever divisional round win. So thanks for listening. Go Texans.